Well, if you've been having your cup of tea, so have we. We've enjoyed that. Welcome back. The Harrow team, led by Captain Henry Hayes, jog out down the steps of the pavilion and out onto the outfield. The umpires make their way out to the stumps, and the two not-out Harrow batsmen follow along behind. The scene is set for the denouement of this match. We have 30 overs left to go. Harrow were on just about 100 for three. They need 274 to win, so 174 required off 30 overs, which is, well, 5.6, something like that. I haven't got a calculator with me. Scoreboard will tell us 5.8 an over. So creeping up to that 6 an over, which most cricketers feel is a psychological point where suddenly you need more than a runner ball. It's going to have to be a pretty good chase, wouldn't you say, Keith?
Certainly is. I was just going to ask you, what do you think they had for their tea? Was it just a high energy bar and a quick drink, or a high energy
or
drink,
or a slab of carrot cake? Like you've just heard.
Yes, I know. No, I'd have thought Bose is a supreme athlete. He's an all round sportsman. He's a rackets player, a squash player, good cricketer. Was a very good rugby player before he focused on.
They've had tea and sandwiches.
Do you think?
I think they have it together as well, unlike most when the internationals are here.
Yep.
They eat separately, but actually for these sort of matches they have a room at the top of the back of the pavilion where they have their lunch and their tea together, which is probably quite nice. So it's McDonagh carrying on his very economical spell from the pavilion end, right-handed, into Boyd, who's on one. And they look for a single, and they're going to pick it up. I think it was a leg by, yes. Just looked to turn it to the onside, missed the ball, it hit his left leg, it rolled out onto the leg side very slowly, and there was enough time for Bose to call him through for a leg by, which brings Bose to 57. I think there's quite a lot riding on the shoulders of Bose today, wouldn't you say?
Yes, we were just looking through his termly scores, and he's not really got up into the 50s very much. He's usually, or has often been, a middle order batsman, a big striker of the ball. Here's McDonagh bowls.
It's a lovely shot. It's going to get him one. Straight up to mid off, who is quite deep, and he runs in to pick the ball up and lobs it into the bowler's end.
Yes, I think often he's been thrown in the middle order when he needs to get some runs. I certainly remember reading of his sort of match-winning 35 off 16 balls.
Right.
Sort of a player.
Yeah, pinch hitter then he was put in as today, perhaps.
Well, certainly he was put in early, I think, to get the run rate going, which he's done, and he's kept that going.
Yeah, he's done well. Boyd comfortably turns that off his hips down to square leg. This fielder comes in who's on the deep square leg boundary, picks it up just by the umpire's right hand, and they run another single.
Bose is a very good sportsman all round. He's played all the different games, so he's got a good temperament for this.
McDonagh in, and a very similar shot goes to the umpire's left hand this time, and they jog through for a single. So they're picking up singles in a way that they perhaps weren't just before tea. McDonagh's gone for what have we had, 4 runs off the over, 3 against the bowler's name, 1 leg by.
Well, just before tea, the Eton fielders were very tight, very sharp, right on their toes. They felt in the ascendancy. I don't hope they, what I do as a Harrow master, I hope they don't let Harrow off the hook here, but they've just let a few runs through just there.
Really, I mean, they've done nothing wrong. It just hasn't gone to the fielders. That's in the block hole from McDonagh and defended back to the bowler by Boyd.
And the batsmen have played it to where the fielders are. So yeah. I think there's a bit of both, isn't there?
Yeah. Maybe by just taking the pace off their shot slightly, they've picked up singles. So to complete the over, again, just, I'd say, almost on a length, that ball, on off stump, and it's played out, and there's no run. The field jog round. Would you be jogging round after your slice of cake?
I certainly need to be jogging round after my slice of cake. Yes, I think so. I think that it's important for the Eton players to keep the tempo high, to keep the batsmen under pressure. These two batsmen, Boyd particularly, just in. Bose feeling he might have to start again after tea. But as I was saying about Bose, he's a good all-round sportsman. I think he enjoys these moments to get a chance to shine on the big stage.
It's Hayes to continue. He was the man that broke the stand that was looking to break the hearts of Eton fans with his tweaky off-spin. from the from the nursery end. There's a little twirl of his arms just before he delivers, and in it goes. He's slightly overpitched. He's driven up to mid-off, and they take a single off the first ball of his over. So that's moves Bowes onto 60, I would think, and brings Boyd on strike.
Hayes comes in, he bowls. Nice bit of loop there as he comes down. Boyd.
I think he thought about it for a moment.
I think so. It was just a bit short, but I think Boyd is just being wary. Wants to get himself in. Hayes in, his bowls. Very good ball.
That's beaten him.
Just beat the outside. Just through to the keeper.
Yeah, took the bales off, but there was
the keeper,
no chance.
He's very fast, isn't he?
He's quick. He's got quick hands.
Very quick hands.
Yeah.
We saw that in the run out a little bit earlier. These bowls down the offside. Boyd just plays it straight to mid off.
We've just got three men outside the ring at the moment. Fairly attacking field from Eton. I mean, no slips, but one, two, three men on the offside inside the ring and three men on the leg side. Having said that now, they've obviously got a plan, because after four balls or five balls, deep wicket goes out. So now it's five inside the outside the ring and four inside, which is the minimum. It's defended by Boyd. It's the end of Hayes' first over after tea. And I'm going to hand over duty.
I think what he's possibly doing there is just trying to encourage Boyd to take a single, keep him on strike, and keep Bowes away from the bowler's end, the strike end, so that he can not carry on scoring as he is. He's looking in good shape, but Bowes, he's been striking the ball nicely, good foot movement. He's clearly feeling confident, and for Harris' sake, he needs to maintain that run rate and to keep scoring as he has been. Hello, Jamie.
Afternoon, Keith. Oh, there's a hat. There's a hat loose.
One of the umpires'
That's
hats.
Is another stray umpire's hat. We had one as they were coming out after lunch as well. Yeah, we missed a golden commentary moment earlier, I think. We weren't quite on air in time.
And Madonna is coming in to bowl again. Villiers, then that's stroked again down to mid-off by Lilip Bowes, and they jog through for a single. Looking for a second. No, they've sensibly declined the slight misfield as the person backing up the wicket failed to take it.
As our colleague Joe has just pointed out to me, the required rate has now crept up to a run a ball, and potentially getting a bit tougher.
Yes, McDonough bowls right at the wickets, and Boyd plays it, bashes it straight back into the ground and to the bowler. He throws it off to mid-off, who gives it a good shine, plays it around the field back to the bowler.
It's kind of turned around a little bit for Eton. After that missed stumping when Harrow were one down, they've now had a stumping and a run out.
McDonough bowls. And they've called for Abu Dhabi, and they got it. Umpire has given that one. Harrow batsman didn't look like he thought it was. He immediately set off for the run. But then the umpire made it clear that it was going to hit the stumps.
He looked a bit miffed there as he walked off. I don't know, I may be being a bit harsh, but he sort of looked around in a way that suggested he perhaps didn't think it was.
Yeah, it's very hard to see from where we are. We're not directly in line. It did look potentially like it might have been going down the slope, but no uncertainty in the umpire's mind. There was a big call shout from the Eton players.
It has to be a good ball on that end wicket down the slope to make sure it's not sneaking down the leg side, but we go with the umpire's decision. He had a much better view than we did.
Yeah. Eton getting another wicket there, just at possibly a crucial moment. Boyd had just been in for a little bit, just beginning to feel that he had his eye in and was just nudging the ball around for the odd single. And it looks like Virish Patel is going to come in.
I think Castleman getting run out just before the tea break could prove to be quite crucial.
Yes, two crucial mistakes by the top order Harrow batsman. The stumping of Cousins, that was a shame for Harrow, and possibly a lack of judgment on Cousins' part to try to force the pace at that stage. The run rate was going nicely at that point. And then Castleman's run out.
As I say, I think it sort of seems to have turned around a bit, because before tea, when I was on with Andy, there was Thorpe's missed stumping I think it was on Cousins. And we thought that might be a crucial moment, but with the event since, perhaps not.
Virish Patel just taking his line. He'll stand and have a look around the field, no doubt. Just get his bearings. His first opportunity to bat here at Lord's. It'll be McDonough to bowl from the pavilion end. McDonough bowls. Patel leaves. Hits the wicketkeeper on his pads. No run.
See, our umpires have now gone for slightly warmer attire out there. The temperature has notched down a couple of degrees, perhaps, and perhaps one or two more jumpers amongst the players now.
I was just sitting in the one of the stands earlier, just down at ground level. It really is quite dark down there, actually, when the grey clouds are over, and there are a few grey clouds. McDonough's in, he bowls. It's well pitched up just on the off stump, and Patel plays a forward defensive and strokes it back down the ground.
The biggest indication of the light situation I find here at Lord's is the how bright the scoreboard seems in the distance, and at the moment it's quite bright.
I would agree. Here comes McDonough. Again, Patel plays that very sensibly, very safely. Just a forward defensive, didn't have to move his feet very much. And that's the end of the over. Score is 106 for 4. Bowes is on 61, and Patel naught. The last wicket fell in that over was Arthur Boyd for 2. LBW bowled McDonough.
The key here for Harrow really is Bowes staying there and getting some kind of partnership together. You know, no partnership with Boyd, no partnership with Castleman. He really needs somebody to stick around with him there. He's looked good, Valet Bowes.
Yeah, the good thing about the Harrow batting order is it does run all the way down. Certainly there's a number of batsmen who've played and done well both here at Lord's before. After Patel, we've got Whitrow, Turner, Ward, McIntyre, Foch. Hayes is back on and bowls his first ball. And Bowes just plays that out to mid-wicket, no run. Hayes comes in again in his sixth over. That's played to mid-off and go through for a quick single, but they started quickly and then found they could just jog through the last bit. Hayes certainly rattles through his overs, doesn't he?
Yes, all the spinners have done today.
Does that build pressure on the batsman, do you feel?
It does. I mean, you know, as a batsman, you've got much less thinking time between deliveries. You know, you might think about what your next plan is, that kind of thing, and perhaps you've got that second or two less to do that.
Hayes in, he's bowled, balls to Patel, who plays another very technically correct forward defensive, just gets his head right over the ball and pats it back towards the bowler.
And of course, what it does is it moves the scoreboard on a lot quicker, and as a batsman, you might look up and think, oh, where did those overs go?
Hayes in, he's bowls, faster one, stays low. Patel gets a thick outside edge, backward point. And probably one of the first bad throws I've seen in from an Eton fielder. The wicketkeeper had to dive in the other direction to try to stop that.
It was a good run by Bowes there. He was well out of his out of the traps at the non-striker's end to get up there nice and quickly for that single.
Certainly was. He is quick, but was right on his toes when the ball went off. Hayes in, he's bowls. Again, nice flat delivery. Just rushes the batsman. Tries to turn it to square and just gets a probably a thick outside edge to go straight back down the ground to the bowler. He's come in, he bowls. Ooh, it's gone straight past the outside of Bose's back to the wicketkeeper. Bose didn't move, stayed in his crease. No run, and that's the end of another Hayes over. The score is 108 for 4, so the Harrow aren't really pushing the run rate here.
The other problem I was just going to say, actually, you must have read my mind. When you look at the scoreboard, the run rate and the required run rate are next to each other on the scoreboard, and it's very, very obvious for everyone to see the situation. The two get further and further apart. The top one goes lower, the run rate, and the required rate goes up. And that's something you've got to be conscious of as the batting side, batting second.
Is this still McDonough bowling? I think it...
Well, it's McDonough on the scoreboard, but something looks so different about the run-up, I don't know.
Maybe he's just changing the field. So he's in his 10th over, so this is going to be his...
There are many changes to the field, aren't there?
His last over, he comes in, his right arm bowl. And it's played just onto yon side by Patel. And the fielder picks it up, throws it back. And it gets a good shine. As I was saying just earlier, the Harrow batting goes a long way down the order. I think McIntyre at 10 would claim to be a decent batsman. The question is that you've got to get in. And this is where the Harrow have fallen down. Each batsman's just had a bit of a sighter and then got out. McDonough bowls into Patel. There's a slightly firmer one this time, but it goes straight to mid-on. He fields it easily. No run.
Pitch-wise, there's no reason that we can tell why you shouldn't be able to trust the wicket and get yourself in fairly quickly, but of course it's about more things than that. It's about that pressure of a run chase.
No, there's not been many balls going past the bat, and those that have just looked like good balls. There hasn't been any funny movement off the wicket. McDonough bowls. Patel is down the wicket with his front leg and just plays a nice four defensive to mid-off. He's clearly going to get his eye in. He's not going to start smashing the ball around straight away.
While Bose is there, Patel needs to stay there with him.
So would we expect him to start just turning the ball around the corners and try to get a few singles?
Absolutely.
McDonough bowls, and Patel again just on the back foot this time. Slightly shorter ball, just covers his wickets, and the ball pats itself back down the wicket. Sorry, not pats itself, but he pats the ball back down the wicket. And to the bowler. Eton boys are serenading the Harrow boys, singing a beautiful song. In comes McDonough. Patel strikes through the ball a little bit more convincingly there to mid-off again. Maybe not convincingly, maybe confidently is that.
Confidently,
is probably the
yes,
better yeah. description.
When you're batting so far on one end of the square here, the game can change very, very quickly with such a short boundary if someone gets their eye in.
It can do, but here comes McDonough. McDonough's bowled such a tight length and line. There really has been very little option, has there? Unless a batsman wants to take it on and really move about, get across his stumps and smash it over square leg or something like that. So it's been very tight. Harrow have only scored 8 runs in the last 5 overs since tee, and crucially lost that wicket as well. So it's not been probably not what the Harrow dressing room would have wanted after tee.
No, it needs an injection of impetus. Eton are going to try and ensure that doesn't happen by putting 5 men right out on the fence all the way around from the offside to backward square leg.
Hayes is back onto bowl, and he comes. Just went one down, a little bit down the leg, and Patel just turns that round the corner, but the wicketkeeper is on it like a flash, and there's no run.
It's essentially just 4 saving the single inside the circle and the rest all on the boundary.
In comes Hayes. Another fast one. It's slightly short, but again, Patel can't turn that away for a single. It just goes to the fielder at mid-wicket, who's quickly in, and the ball's back to the bowler. And he's straight back into his stride again, and it comes. and that's a very nicely played shot by Patel down to third man. The batsman run two, and Bose quickly calls him back for the third for Patel.
Yeah, good running, and that's one place he could pretty safely play it along the ground there, that thick outside edge, deliberately played down to third man.
Sorry, that was actually by Bose, not Patel, sorry. I got that wrong, so that's three for Bose.
It was still a good shot.
He moves on to 65, and Patel is on one. In comes Hayes to Patel, who just plays it very sensibly back down to shortened wicket. Although at this stage maybe a single would have been more sensible if he could have possibly chanced. Another ball from Hayes. Another dot ball as Patel just strikes the ball straight to mid-off, who's quickly in and throws it back in. After 30 overs, Eaton were 124 for one. And Harrow, who've just scored a few runs this over, on 111 for four. So since that 25 over, actually the runs were fairly similar. The Harrow run rate has just fallen a little bit, whereas the Eton run rate began to pick up at this point. They crucially had three more wickets in hand. There was the last ball of Hayes, just outside the leg stump. No run there as it goes down to a short fine leg.
So how many runs did we have off that over? Was that three? I think that's trying to work out how many runs that is in the last five overs. 11 runs in six overs. Rate required 6.8 now. And Nelson on the scoreboard, 1-1-1 for four.
McDonough is on. Sorry, I got it wrong earlier. I was thinking it was 10 overs a bowler. It's actually 11 overs a bowler. We're playing 55 overs. So McDonough is now, I think, I can confirm, we think, is on for his final over. I did wonder why they didn't come up with his bowling statistics at the end of the last over.
It's a strange old format of game, really, isn't it? It's a sort of limited overs game that's not limited overs.
And they break for lunch and they break for tea.
Yeah.
In comes McDonough. To Bose, who plays it off into the offside off field. Fielder picks it up and immediately starts working on that ball, trying to maintain that shine. There hasn't been a lot of movement that I've seen.
No, not a lot of movement sideways, either in the air or off the pitch.
In comes McDonough. And Bose flashes at that one. And it's gone for four runs. A despairing dive at in the covers. Can't get to it for the Eton fielder, and it runs over the boundary rope up the hill.
Yes, he got hold of that, and it was a rare ball with a little bit of room, just a fraction of room from McDonough.
And here comes McDonough, and Bose just tickles this round to square leg, and they score a run. Now, apparently that four was the first runs that McDonough has conceded for 12 balls, so he's been having a very fine spell since tea particularly, but he was pretty tight before then as well.
He was, yeah. He's just got the one wicket so far, hasn't he?
That's right. Total 116 for four. Bose moves on to 70. Patel's still on one. McDonough bowls. Into Patel, who takes a quick single to mid-off. Looked a little bit close. I know that Patel has struggled with a hamstring injury this term and has missed a number of games. And I noticed in the field earlier, sometimes he didn't chase as hard as you might have expected to. In comes McDonough to Bose. And the bails were removed, I think, by the wicketkeeper there in lightning speed.
I don't think he had the ball.
Yes,
when he removed them. The ball trickled round the corner.
There certainly wasn't a shout, was there?
No.
And the umpire didn't respond. And the bails are quickly replaced. Ball thrown back to the bowler. And we're all set to go again as if nothing happened. So it's McDonough to Bose. bowls. A straight drive, straight back to the bowler. And again, another good bowl, excellent line and length. And that's the end of the over. Arrow 117 for four.
The scene looking down in the mound stand to the there's a high concentration of Eton fans in one of the sets of seats lower down, sort of semi reminiscent of a particular stand at Edgbaston, quite famous for such activity, particularly when the Australians are over. Definitely a lot of jumping up and down going on there, and a lot of singing.
We are about to begin the next over with Hayes again back on bowling to Patel. Is there any bowls just down the leg side? But Patel misses out on that one. Took a little bit of a swish.
So he's just stretching his hamstring there?
I don't know. He's looking slightly fine. I don't know whether he just felt he missed out on that one. There was definitely an opportunity to score. In comes Hayes. Donna's statistics from his 11 overs, two maidens, 26 runs with one wicket, which was the LBW of Arthur Boyd. In comes Hayes, arms wheeling, and Patel strikes that off to point, and he's definitely hobbling a little bit, I think, Patel.
I don't think he's entirely comfortable. He's just a little bit hindered, perhaps.
Yeah, and he's just shaking his leg as well. So there's a single to him, but puts Bowes on strike, which for Harrow is I think, a good thing. Hayes in, he's bowls, it's short. Bowes smashes that away to a backward square leg out on the boundary, and they take a single. Again, I think that was one of those balls that I think he'll feel he missed out on. That. With Bowes' timing and eye in, that probably he should really have been looking for a gap and trying to strike that.
Yeah,
forward.
Found the man.
Yeah, the man perfectly placed. So all credit to Eton, captain and fielder there. Here comes Hayes, down the leg side, it's a wide. He's bowled a few down that line. I don't know if he's obviously very aware of the very close offside boundary. Is that a tactic, do you think?
Well, I'll tell you in a second.
In comes Hayes, he bowls. It's high, high, high. The fielders are running down. It's landed and almost got a bit of backspin as it landed over mid-on, but not reaching the boundary. And the batsman run three.
It may well be a tactic, but the batsmen haven't shown any great intent to want to crash the ball through that short offside.
So. Yeah. Here comes Hayes to Patel. And they just get a single to backward square leg. So the one before was just a two, sorry. It was Patel hit it over the heads and then he ran two. And there's a single on that one. That's the end of Hayes' over. 123 for four. Bowes is on 71 and Patel on six. That is after 33 overs. 22 overs remain. The rate required is 6.9. The run rate at present, 3.7. Slighter difference there.
Yeah, very nearly seven required now. I don't think Eton feel like they need to do anything more than what they are doing at the moment, a sort of flurry of wickets, two or three in quick succession either side of tee, and they don't really need to do anything particularly fancy with the field placings, keep them as they are, keep the five men out on the rope, four inside the circle.
It's been a very good spell, hasn't it, for the Eton bowlers with McDonough and Hayes. With their excellent figures. Hayes at the moment is bowled. The figures have just flashed off the score. I was about to read them out.
I could see what you were going to do there.
Certainly, I've read out McDonough's. His are excellent. Hayes bowled eight overs so far, and again, been very tight and got a crucial wicket at the stumping of Cousins.
So the field is staying the same, I think. I think we're going to have mid-off and mid-on both up, actually. So five inside the circle. It's going to be Tugwell to continue.
Tugwell's in, he bowls quicker and just through to the wicketkeeper behind. Who's come up? Was he was the wicketkeeper up?
He was up for McDonough, so I think he's staying up for Tugwell. Yeah.
Tugwell just looks a little bit quicker. Again, just bowled outside the off stump that one. It's changed ends as well. He was bowling from the other end. He's now at the pavilion end, and he comes. He bowls. And Patel smashes that through the covers to the man at the boundary, and they just run through for a single. They jog through. He now rubs his hamstrings and practices his stroke. Maybe that's what he should have done and missed the fielder.
Yes. I think, standing up to Tugwell, he is a bit quicker, and initially that fine leg was very fine there for that first delivery, obviously representing, you know, with the keeper standing up and the extra pace, obviously trying to guard against excessive buys, potentially evading the keeper. But
Thorpe at wicketkeeper has been so impressive today, I think.
In
comes Tugwell, and played by Patel, straight through Bose's legs at the other end. The fielder doesn't make a mistake though at mid-on, picks the ball up. That's Tugwell. What do you think about Thorpe?
Well, he missed the one stumping, but you know, things happen. Apart from that, very, very tidy. Both wicket keepers today, Robbie White in the first innings for Harrow, had a very good inning, game in that first innings.
But certainly, I think if I was a batsman with Freddie Thorpe behind the stumps, whichever bowler it is, he's been lightning quick with his hands. In comes Tugwell, just on the stumps, and Bose turns that around a corner into mid wicket, and they run a single. And so when you know you've got a very good wicket keeper behind you, it does just slightly put the pressure on you, doesn't it? And if there's already been a stumping as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It gives you something to think about with your footwork.
In comes Tugwell.
Shot.
And that's very nicely played. Straight back down the ground. Straight drive for four runs. Runs up the slope just in front of that pavilion. That's that little slope before the brickwork.
Clubbed is unkind, but semi-clubbed back straight back past the stumps at the other end, and first real positive connection from Patel we've seen.
Yes, that's interesting, isn't it? In comes Tugwell. Shorter ball. Batsman think of a quick single. Soft hands by Patel, just plays it down into the ground, but they choose not to run, and the score is 129 for 4.
If he has got a hamstring problem, Patel, he'll be better off going for some boundaries, I think.
Well, I think the run rate might also
yes,
benefit from some boundaries.
There could be many benefits to it.
But the bowling certainly from Eaton's remains tight. Looks like we've got a change of bowler here from Eaton.
So Carlton Smith. Mark Carlton Smith's coming on.
Max, I think it is. Max.
Is it Max?
Max Carlton-Smith is coming on.
Looks like it's going to be left arm round.
Looks like left arm round. He's coming on from the nursery road end. And he's just warming up, having a chat with his captain. He gets thrown the ball, and they start organising the fielders. Some of the fielders clearly know where they go. Some of the others are less certain.
Yep, some there already. Some still making their way there. The Eaton fielders, must say, look very, very smart in their light blue caps. Cambridge-esque. I understand there was a link between...
I heard earlier today, actually, that Eaton have the blue and... Cambridge rather borrowed it from them. In comes Carlton Smith. Bowls a sort of fairly easy one there to Bose, who turns it round the corner with a cross bat out to mid-wicket, and they run for a single.
Bit of a loosener, yeah. So the blue was actually Eaton's in the first place.
Eaton's in the first place.
Stolen by Cambridge.
Yeah, so apparently the Cambridge eight, the rowing eight, were all from Eaton. And so they all just turned up in the same colour, and it became the colour of the Cambridge boat team, and then it got taken on board elsewhere. In comes Carlton Smith. And he's edged that, and the wicketkeeper's caught it. Ball's thrown into the air, and Patel goes trudging off, caught behind of Carlton Smith's second ball. So a loosener, and then a wicket.
Was that was there a half juggle from the keeper there? There was a little bit of a delay there. I couldn't quite see what happened. Definitely an outside edge.
And it certainly took some time before the ball got thrown in the air by the wicketkeeper. I think he wasn't sure what to do with it.
No. No, it's a very, very good catch, and that's another big blow.
That is, I think Patel was struggling with his legs and was trying to score. He certainly tried to swish that one away, and just got an edge, which the wicketkeeper Freddie Thorpe has taken. So Patel leaves ground for 11. Harrow are 130 for 5.
A somewhat inspired bowling change there as well, getting the breakthrough straight away in the first over. Hector Whitrow is the new batsman, having a chat with his colleague on the way out there.
It's interesting bowling change, because Hayes was doing pretty well, keeping it tight and putting pressure on Harrow fairly effectively, I thought, and so interesting to bring on a new bowler when you would have said that Eaton was still in the ascendancy. There wasn't the run rate certainly wasn't going up, but it's worked.
I can only think that perhaps what they were trying to do was get Patel out before he truly got his eyes in. And they weren't getting a breakthrough. It was quite sterile for a while from both sides. So a good change, a brave one.
Carlton Smith comes in, he bowls to Hector Whitrow, who just squares up to that one, or just squares him up, and he gets a thick outside edge to point, backward point. Carlton Smith comes in again, and that's a good ball. There's a shout for an LBW. Probably just going down leg.
Yeah, I think that was the indication from the umpire. Yeah, he did the not very good for radio.
So going that's right, going down leg. The arm, the arm action showing it was going down leg, and wasn't going to come back and hit the wickets. And that's a good ball from Carl Smith again, on a line and length. And Whitrow just pats that straight back down the ground with a straight bat to the bowler, and the bowler gets back to his mark, and we're ready to go again. Carlton Smith into bowls, and Whitrow just flicks his wrists at that and plays it down to mid-on, and they run through for a single, which Eaton will be very happy about, because it keeps Whitrow on strike. Bowes at the non-striker's end, and the score is 131 for 5, and they've only been 31 runs since tee over the last 10 overs, so a run rate in the last 10 overs is just 3.1. there's some simple maths for you, and crucially, 2 wickets.
Yeah, and they're required right now above 7.2. So harder and harder work for Harrow here, and hard to see how they might get this back at the moment. 20 overs remain, so they've got 20 overs to get from 131 to the target of 274.
Sense that the Eaton fielders are feeling quite confident at the moment. There's no pressure on them. They're not quite as buzzy as they were early on. They haven't needed to be particularly. Harrow haven't looked yet to seem look like they're about to push the run rate, but I think they probably need to and take a few risks and start running some singles and striking the ball a bit more.
They'll have to now.
And as we've seen before, if you really do push the fielders and the bowlers, the pressure can turn around fairly quickly. As Eaton did in the first innings. In comes Tugwell, he bowls, and Whitrow just plays that back down the ground to mid-on. There's no run. Tugwell bowls, and just into mid-wicket, and Hayes fields and throws, flashes the ball in to the wicket-keeper. There's another dot ball, which Tugwell will be very happy about. Now, Whitrow played last year, and only scored one run, which he, I'm sure, would have been disappointed about. Here comes Tugwell, bowls, and again, another dot ball. Whitrow just plays that straight down the ground to the bowler.
Perhaps time to try and exploit that short boundary.
Possibly. They haven't eaten, aren't protecting it too heavily. There's just a man at fine leg and a man on the bound, or both at the boundary on fine leg and square leg. In comes Tugwell. And a more aggressive strike by Whitrope, just to straight to mid-off though. Fielder perfectly placed, who fields it easily. It's hard to exploit that boundary when the Eton bowlers are sticking so effectively to their line just outside off stump though.
The line is the key, and that's the line that was missing perhaps slightly in the first innings.
It'll take a brave batsman to step across the line as well. In comes Tugwell. Having said that, exactly, he just drifts slightly down the leg side and the ball gets swished away for leg byes. So no bat on that, just off the pad, down for four runs to fine leg just after they'd brought the fielder up.
They had just brought him inside the circle.
So, I mean, Eton haven't got many things wrong fielding-wise, but that was just one mistake, and it just...
But it just shows you the value of a slightly misguided ball in the first place.
Exactly, and Tugwell's been bowling very tightly. And in comes Tugwell again. And Whitrow squares it off to point. He throws it back in, but the single has already been run, and Whitrow moves on to two. So he's already doubled his score from last year, and just seems to be getting in his iron. That looked a little bit more confident, that stroke.
Yeah, looking to play positively from the outset, I'd say. Just seems to have gone a bit darker again in the last few minutes. Large grey cloud overhead, hopefully.
Yeah,
we'll
that
pass.
Scoreboard is brightening up even more.
It is, but we can see blue sky in the distance, so all is well.
Not much, as the wind died slightly, just the flags are flying slightly less vigorously. Certainly the school flags over, yes, in the pavilion. The Harrow flag is completely limp. The Cambridge flag is fluttering a little bit, a bit smaller. And in comes Carlton Smith, just bowls it. Just a full toss, and Whitrow strikes that down the ground to mid-on, and they run through for a single. Both mid-on and mid-off are most of the way back to the boundary, not quite on the boundary, just regaining their positions. They're quite deep, so there's an easy single there if you can hit the ball straight. Just one man on the short offside boundary underneath the mound stand. In comes Carlton Smith, smashed away by Bowes, but straight to the fielder on the boundary, exactly where I've just been talking about, and they run through for a single. And the scoreboard moves on to 138 for five, with Whitrow on strike on three. Carlton Smith comes in, he bowls, left arm. And the fielders had just moved in for Whitrow. I hadn't spotted that. They're moving in for Whitrow inside the circle, putting a bit more pressure on him, and that stopped single.
Yeah, pressure on the new man, but now they're going back out for him.
And maybe it's the end of the... just towards the end of the over, let him get a single maybe and get Bowes in strike for the end of the over. No, there's still a couple of balls left.
Yeah,
there's no run on that one.
A bit strange that, but of course if he gets a single he'll be on strike for the next over, they'll hope.
Carlton Smith comes in, he bowls, and there's Whitrow just playing exactly that same shot to mid on. They run through for a single. Well, the scoreboard is still ticking over slowly, just steadily. It's not going to be enough if they keep going just at this rate.
The mid-on and mid-off both thought what I thought then. Should we come in and keep them on strike? But they were soon sent back to the...
That's right. It's Bowes on strike now as Carlton Smith's bowling. His left arm round the wicket. And Bowes just strikes it back down the ground. Carlton Smith fields. no run. End of the over, 139 for 5.
Well, they've got their wish. Whitrow's going to be on strike to Tugwell in the next over. 7.5 the required rate, so climbing again ever so slightly, but they have at least shown some positive intent in the last couple of overs. Absolutely no chance of rain, I wouldn't have thought. We will certainly get a result today, unlike a couple of years ago where I gather there was a thunderstorm of some description.
Yes, Tom Tennant, who was in earlier actually talking about that match in 2009, he was on the Harrow team and they were batting second, and Eton had posted a very big total and Harrow, I have to admit, didn't look like they were going to get it, and Tom was on 72 not out when the rain came. In comes Tugwell, bowling from the pavilion end. Whitrow, slightly ugly shot there, not quite the straight bat he's now showing he should have hit it with, puts it straight back to the covers the field in quite close. In comes Tugwell again, and Whitrow goes for that one straight over, sort of somewhere just to the outs, a wide mid off. Doesn't get all of it, but it goes over the fielders, and it go run through for a quick two. A bit more intent there from Whitrow.
That was definite intent there. Just perhaps slightly on the bottom half of the bat rather than the middle. Two nonetheless.
And here comes Tugwell. Got like a slightly slower ball. Whitrow read it, just played it off his toes. Strokes it through to mid on. And they run through just for a single there. Good fielding there. Quickly round. And a good throw into the bowler's end. Stops the batsman running through for two.
Yeah, fielder was round quickly there actually. It saved a run there, definitely.
And I think if the Eton fielders can continue to dat them, when the singles are there, keep them to the singles, that's going to hamper the Harrow batsman even more and keep them further away from that. The rate required now is 7.5 per over. In comes Tugwell. Right arm over. And Bowes plays that straight back to the bowler, who gets a hand on it and just stops the ball. He has to quickly run and pick it up, but it stops the batsman making any runs.
A rendition of Happy Birthday in the crowd from the Eton fans in the lower mound stand.
I think they've just gone through their whole repertoire and they're just looking for songs they all know the words to. But it was a good one. Oh, they're singing to somebody, I think. Maybe there's somebody with a birthday. Tugwell bowled and Bowes just played that out to the wicket, and there was no one.
Strange mechanical noises below us then. Apologies for that.
Tugwell bowls just slightly down, straying down the leg side, and Bowes plays that to mid on, very straight mid on. And runs through for a single, and that's the end of the over. 143 for 5. Bowes is on 75 and Whitrow on 7.
It's pretty hard actually batting when you just see the rate going up all the time, because you know now it's at 7.7. realistically in this over they need to score 8 runs to prevent it going up any further.
You almost just need to ignore it at this stage, don't you? And just say, let's get our head down. We'll score runs whenever we can. We need to make sure we do score runs, obviously, as you would always expect to in a one-day match. But it is tricky against spin bowlers because you have to make the running. There's not enough pace on the ball. Carlton Smith is not a fast spin bowler. He is trying to give it a bit of air, a bit of flight and a bit of spin. So Bowes and Whitrow have it all to do here. But that one's pitched right up, and Bowes gets a good stride down the wicket, and then plays that off to wide mid-off. Mid-off comes round fields and throws it back into the bowl, and it's just a single.
Mid-off's in now.
Well, bowls, that's turned around the corner. Sorry, Carlton Smith bowls, and that's just played out to the offside and fielded in again. Another single that time for Whitrow.
and mid-on were both out, but now we've got mid-on coming up inside the...
I think they're just doing a bit of fitness work. So it's mid-on and mid-off. They're in, yes. They're out. In comes Carlton Smith. Bowls, and Bowes just plays that late, cuts it up down to point, and slides across Fields comfortably and throws it in back round the field to the bowler, and ready to go again with Whitrow on strike. So they're rotating the strike quite nicely. It's just a shame that they need to be doing it certainly every ball with the odd boundary. In comes Carlton Smith, and Whitrow just makes room outside the off stump. Oh, there was a misfield there. And they probably could have made a quick single.
I think it might have been a bit...
Do you think at this stage they should be looking for anything like that?
Come to a sticky end, that one, would I think.
In comes Carlton Smith, pitched up, and Whitrow, with his usual flick, I've seen that a lot of times, plays it to mid-on. Doesn't play that with a straight bat, but sort of uses his wrist to sort of flick that forward, just clear it around the corner into the gap, which is probably one good one-day cricket, just making the runs come by just turning it slightly further round so that away from the bowler. With the straight bat, he may have just played that straight at the bowler and
good,
no runs.
Good angled shot, yeah.
In comes Carlton Smith, left arm round the wicket to Bowes, who just plays that defensively. No run off that one. And that's the end of the over. 147 for 5. Whitrow on 9. Bowes on 77. Run rate required at 7.9. And the current run rate 3.8. Overs left, 16 overs left.
Yep, so we're virtually up to the 8 and over mark. But as you say, you've just got to ignore that as a batting side. Try and get your head down and score off as many balls as you can.
As we've said earlier, the boundaries are reduced. That we are significantly inside the normal board's boundaries. We're playing right over on the southern end as Tugwell comes into bowl. It's wide outside the off stump, and Whitrow slashes that around out to the boundary and covers, past the covers. And they score 1. So the boundaries are a little bit further in, particularly on the Mound and Tavern side. So that the boundaries are possible.
They are indeed, yeah.
The boys are showing they can quite easily clear them. And a good drive, if it gets through the inner ring of fielders, will easily run out to the boundaries. Tugwell comes, bowls, and Bowes just plays that straight back down the ground.
Well, we saw a couple of shots earlier that were so well timed, they made it all the way to the grandstand. You know, some 25, 30 yards away from the actual edge of the boundary.
Particularly as we're on the wicket on the far
left as we look at it, yes.
That's right, so quick outfield. In comes Tugwell, a bit shorter. Bowes pulls that round and, as we just said, easily crashes the ball into the boundaries at 4 runs. That was a loose ball, 15 balls since the last boundary.
Yeah,
that was a little bit of a gift there.
150's up, 237 balls.
In comes Tugwell, bowling right arm over the wicket. And Bowes plays that sensibly and safely, and they run a quick single. Whitrow was a little bit slow off the mark there. I think that was an obvious run.
It did seem fairly straightforward. There was a wee bit of hesitation, a slight bit.
I think maybe he was expecting Bowes to smash another one. Bowes is playing a very good innings. For somebody who's often been a middle order batsman who's known to be able to smash the ball around, he's building a good innings here. 82. In comes Tugwell. A bit too full. That just a full toss probably there for Whitrow, who drives that out into the covers for a single. Man just coming in off the boundary to field. Tugwell regains his mark at the pavilion end, turns and bowls. In he comes. A good York length ball. Bowes smashes that back down into the wicket, bounces right over Tugwell's head and out to mid off, and they score another single. And the score moves on to 155 for 5. After 40 overs, Eton were 167 for 1, and Harrow are 155 for 5. So not far behind run-wise, interestingly.
Run-wise, yeah, not a lot in it, but the significance of the 4 wickets is massive.
Well, I mean, I think in this stage, these two batsmen just have to forget the fact they've lost a few more wickets and just keep going.
They need to try and reinvent themselves in their minds as openers. Well, of course, Bowes did open.
He's having a good look around the field now, just spotting where the gaps might be. There haven't been many gaps. They've struggled to get the boundaries. And Carlton Smith is coming back on the Nursery Road end. He bowls left arm. Bowes just rocks back and tries to cut that fine. There's nobody back at either fine leg or third man. There is a backward point, or a point. There's somebody on the boundary at point as well. So they are fielding that very closely. In comes Carlton Smith. Tries the same shot again. Again, it goes straight through him to the keeper. The keeper will be getting excited about this if he's going to keep trying this.
Yep.
Maybe runs, but it also may...
will be wickets.
Maybe wickets. So Bowes just needs to be careful. In comes Carlton Smith. Slightly shorter, slightly down the leg side. No, not wide, though. In comes Carlton Smith. And he can bowl. Bowes just plays a lovely forward defensive. He's on 83 not out at the moment, which I've just been pointed out was what Henry Hayes, the captain of the Eton team, scored. When he got out. So if Bowes gets another run here, he will be the highest scorer of the day. In comes Carlton Smith. Bowes plays that straight down the ground in the single. He moves on to 84, and he is now the highest scorer of the day.
Well, there we go, 84, and it'd be impossible for him to not have an eye on getting another 16 runs, not least for the sake of the innings, but...
Here comes Carlton Smith bowling to Whitrow. And not quite sure what he played there. There was definitely some movement on the ball off the pitch.
That seemed to go away, didn't it?
Whitrow, yeah, he did go away down the slope, but he also the left arm has liked to move it that way. And Whitrow didn't move his feet and just took a bit of a wild swing at that one. I don't know if he was just hoping to smash that back over the bowler's head with a crossbat. I don't know, but it wasn't a great shot. But nothing came of it. No runs, no wickets, and that's the end of the over. And there looks to be a change of bowler at the pavilion end. And the binoculars are out, just trying to work out who it is coming to bowl.
It's Nodder. Jamie Nodder.
Jamie Nodder coming into bowl. Doing the statutory windmill of his arms. This is he's bowled 2.3 overs this season, I hear, and he comes in for his 2.4th. He bowls left arm over the wicket, and Bowes smashes that straight back over mid-off. For 4 runs just under the pavilion. So welcome to the match, Jamie. I think the Bowes says to that. Nodder did get a few runs in the innings, so maybe a chance to shine on the ball, but that was a his loosener.
Yeah, he's taken 3 wickets in his 2.3 overs this.
I didn't spot that.
This season for just 19 runs, but.
Maybe
a slightly inauspicious first delivery.
And he comes, bowls left arm over the wicket, and Bowes just rocks back on that and plays it back to that point. He feels there's no run there. I was going to say Carlton Smith came on with the loosener first ball, and immediately took a wicket the next ball. So Nodder hasn't achieved that, but yes, if that return is 3 wickets for 19 runs this term, he's had a good season so far. and maybe hasn't been bold enough. That one was just down the leg side, and Bose turns that round to square leg, and the Harrow pair run through for a single. Gained his mark and he's coming. Oh no, he's not. He's stopped. Matson wasn't quite ready, so another good touch his mark, and then in he comes again. Left arm over the wicket. That was a very good ball, straight on line and length. Whitrow, who is about 6 foot three or four or something tall, just stands tall and smashes that straight back down the ground. And two fielders both do their slides almost together in perfect synchronisation. Feel the ball. And they run through for two.
They met in the middle there, didn't they?
Yeah. Whitrow moves on to 13. And Nodder comes in again. And bowls a slightly shorter one outside off stump, going across the batsman, up the slope. And Whitrow sort of half flashes at that one there and makes no contact. And the fielder, sorry, the wicketkeeper picks it up and throws it back. In comes Nodder again. There's another ball just outside off stump. Whitrow plays that off to into the covers. No run. The Eton fielder is there, snaffles the ball, gives it a quick shine, and that's the end of the over.
Yeah, I wondered what might happen there with the four off the first over, but it turned out to be not quite so bad.
A nice email from one of Lilit Bo's housemates back at Harrow, from Pablo Hutchinson. Thank you, Pablo. Bo's looking very strong, always a good thing when approaching the house competition. A lot of boys at Harrow, the house matches are more important than anything else. Carlton Smith bowls from the Nursery Road end. Bo's plays that out to mid-off and run a quick single. Good call. And he run through for one with Whitrow now on strike. So yes, headmasters all the way. This is hard to say as a housemaster in another house, but we're not playing them in the next round, so good luck to headmasters. Certainly with Bose on fine form today, he'll be excited about a house match too. Carlton Smith comes in, he bowls left arm, a lot of air there. Whitrow stands tall and smashes the full toss straight back down the ground to mid on. With a straight bat, and they just run through for the one. Possibly could have hit that even further, even higher.
Yes, maybe. Or just slightly wider, the man would have been better.
And Bose rocks back to Carlton Smith's next ball, just a bit shorter, and plays it. Clearly, by the way, he's just done a practice. He wanted to play that finer. Maybe just got on them there a bit early. But they run through for a single. Carlton Smith comes in again, and Whitrow just plays that one straight back to the bowler. Just slightly got his footing wrong there, and didn't quite manage to do what he clearly intended to do, which was turn it around the corner for a single. So Carlton Smith comes in again, and Whitrow again doesn't look like he had meant to place it to mid on. Looked like he tried to play it wider of that, where the gaps were. But still managed to get a single. The mid-on is quite deep, outside the circle. He stays inside the circle now. That's clearly an area where Harrow have been scoring a few runs. Elton Smith comes in, he bowls, flighted high, and a full toss again. And Harrow really aren't making the most of these.
No, a couple of ones they've just missed out on there. And 167 for 5 is the score.
We're about to hand over now, so it's goodbye from Jamie and me.
Goodbye.
Well, many thanks to Jamie and to Keith. Joe and I are going to describe the next few moments. You're not missing anything because there's a drinks interval after 43 overs bowled in the innings, which has a maximum of 55. And in the remaining 12 overs, Harrow have the objective of scoring another 107 runs, I think.
Yes, we can tell that we're not missing anything because all we can hear through the effects mic is the wind whistling past, which it has done all day long.
It has. A blustery sort of day. It's quite grey. We hope you're enjoying the coverage of the 174th match between Eton and Harrow. And to recap, Eton batted first, scored 273, and in their reply, Harrow are 167 for 5, Whitrose 15, Bowes has had a long innings because he opened it, is on 91, and the chase is on, and if Harrow were to get there, we're in for some fireworks, John.
Yes, Michael Roy to resume from the pavilion end. I think I'm right in saying he's had 5 overs so far.
And he's running towards us, and he bowls round the wicket to the right-handed Whitrow, who tries to turn it into the leg side and misses. Cannons into his pads, just drops in front of him. And the wicketkeeper, who apart from one missed stumping, has had a very good afternoon behind the wickets.
Yes, he's done very well here, Freddie Thorpe.
Didn't get a bat, so I think he's delighted to be in the action as much as he is. And so Roy, who opened the innings, I think, opened the bowling for Eton, comes in for his second spell. That's a big hit by Whitrow, and that's over the boundary. 6 runs, ball into the tavern stand, greeted with enthusiasm by the Harrow spectators, who want more of that.
Yeah, and that is the danger, if there is a danger, with bringing taking off a medium-paced bowler, bringing on a faster bowler, is that the ball's coming onto the bat a lot quicker. And if he connects, as Whitrow did, the batsman's going to be able to find the boundary.
He looks like a chap to give it a bit of long handle, doesn't he?
Yes.
As Roy comes into bowl again, despite having a long handled approach, he can't reach that, which is well outside the off stump, but not sufficiently wide to be called a wide. So 173 for 5, Whitrow 21 now, Bowes 91, high score of the match today. Don't think. Well, it's possible that... Can anybody overhaul him? Possibly. We'll see. Roy comes in again to bowl. Right-handed, round the wicket. This is also wide, and Whitrow has to reach for it, but Flat bats it out to the square cover boundary, where the sweeper fields it, returns it to the wicketkeeper, not quite on the full toss, but he does well to gather it, and that's 174 for 5. And the enthusiasm of the crowd continues. Brings Bowes on to strike. He's scratching away at his crease. He's been on the field all the time.
Yes, he has. So he's got himself through 11 overs.
Yeah.
And however many balls.
Yeah, he bowled lively, a lively pace, and bowled well. Now he's batting extremely well as Roy comes into bowl to him. And this is a full-length ball.
It's a drop.
Well...
It's a drop by Tugwell.
Well, he's dropped. That's the answer to that one. There was a lot of noise, and that was a chance then for Eton to snuff out Bowes, but not taken. Little chat between batsmen there. What was that about? Don't know. So, Roy continues. Round the wicket, when he bowls. This is a shorter ball which Bowes swivels and turns very fine behind him, and it's 4 runs. It didn't get much bat on it, but enough. Fine leg, couldn't get anywhere near that one. So that's another 4. This is a productive over for Harrow. 178 now for 5, and that's probably the most productive over for some little time.
For some while, yes. We've got 11 overs remaining. And some, 95? Six runs. 96.
It's going to test our men. Why don't they put at the bottom of the scoreboard target?
Oh, yes.
However, it's a big ask. The run rate is only 4. They're looking for 8.7. And, well, if they're going to get there, we're going to see some fine batting.
I've been reliably informed it's the biggest scoring over since the 17th over. It's a good statistic there.
And so it's the left-handed Carlton Smith who comes into bowl from the nursery end, and Whitrow hits him hard into the offside. It's fielded by cover point, throws it into the bowler's end, misses. So they go through for a quickly taken single, and that's all there is. Carlton Smith, left arm, slow bowler, round the wicket, past the umpire to the stumps now, a looping ball which Bowes pushes back to the bowler, and that dot ball greeted with great enthusiasm by the Eton supporters, who are clearly hoping for great things as Carlton Smith trots away. Arms all over the place, but it's a good ball. That's a lovely bit of work behind the stumps by Thorpe. He appeals for presumably a stumping or perhaps a catch off something or other. No, it wasn't a stumping because the bails are still on. So he must have thought there was a little bit of bat or glove, but no one else did.
No, I don't know why the Etonian crowd went crazy there, and they must have seen the umpire do something strange.
I think they just swept up by the occasion, and this, however, is a single because Bowes pushed it into the onside. Mid-wicket ran in, had a shy at the stumps at the non-strikers end, missed them. Bowes moves on to 96,
yeah,
which is impressive as Carlton Smith bowls round the wicket now to Whitrow, who rocks back and gets a very thick outside edge which runs all the way down to the third man boundary.
Should be three here.
Three at least, will they? Three it is. Good fielding. And it brings up the 50 partnership, which has come in 36 minutes off 63 balls between Whitrow and Bowes. 180 for five, and we are in the 45th over of a 55 over innings. I hope we can pick up the crowd's enthusiasm and ours, because it's getting close.
Yeah, it is.
Carlton Smith and comes into ball. That's a little bit shorter, which this time Bowes pulls hard into the onside, out to a wide mid-wicket on the grandstand boundary for a single. Now 183, 45, 184, and Bowes on 97. Bowes pinches the strike because that was the end of Carlton Smith's over, and
so easy 60 balls, 90 runs, 9 runs an over,
or 1.5 per ball. It's a big ask.
Not in this generation of 2020 cricket, it's not.
What with with heavy bats and short boundaries.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we'll see if Harrow can get to it.
I just want a grandstand finish, really.
or a tavern and mound finish, anyway.
Yes, yes.
As Roy then continues his spell of medium pace bowling, right-handed round the wicket to the right-handed Bowes on 97, and he bowls, and this is a fine shot into the outfield. Looks like it's going to be his 100. It's over that mid-off, and it's a boundary ball. There's a lot of applause all round the ground, including from the commentary box by representatives of both sides, because that's been a magnificent 101 off 118 balls in 165 minutes, 12 fours and 1 6.
Now, Ian, I've been saving this for a little while. Go on, you do your question and I'll tell you what I've been saving for a little while.
How many people before have scored 100 in this match in 173
right.
encounters?
I'm not going to answer that, but to my knowledge, the last person to score a century in this match was Yunus Sirt. And he was a match winner for Harrow when he scored 105 not out.
Okay.
Essentially won the game.
Okay, well, it's Roy to continue his spell of bowling. Also to Bowes, who's pushed it hard up the offside. It's gone out to long off. They're coming back for a risky-ish second, but they're there. They put a bit of pressure on the fielder then, and it worked. So that's two more to the total, two more to Bowes. 190 for five. Bowes 103, Whitrow 26, but the partnership has been extremely effective and very good fun to watch as Roy comes in again to bowl from the pavilion end. And that's bowled hard, but Bowes returns it with interest, hits it hard into the offside, right out to the sweeper, patrolling rather lonely bit of the countryside out there. But he prevents a boundary, only one scored, 191 for five. Whitrow on strike now, he's 26. He can be proud of what he's done to accelerate the position for the chasing arrow, and in comes Roy. And this is a very wide ball, which Whitrow pokes up into the offside, and it's over the boundary for four.
That's 11 runs off the over so far, if I'm not correct.
He didn't really swing through that shot at all. He sort of dab-ended it. Good timing? I don't know. But it was four runs.
There's just a feeling that this is swinging back Harrow's way, and Eton will want to get back at them.
Let's have a look at the run rate at the end of the over, because that's quite telling.
Too late, I've said it. Can't take it back.
Okay, and it's Roy now then. Medium pace. The crowd's silenced. And this one's short. Whitrow swings into the leg side boundary. Four more runs. That goes into the old the hoardings, 15. The pickets. And off this over so far.
15 runs, I think.
Well, it isn't over yet. 195 now for five. And I think you can probably hear through the sound effects microphone that the Harrow crowd are loving this. So, in comes Roy. Medium fast, bowls. This is a wideish ball, which Whitrow can only flat back to the bowler, who picks it up on his follow through. So that is the end of the 46th over. Nine overs to go. The current run rate is up to 4.3. The required run rate is 8.3. They're still behind it, but they are having a bit of momentum.
Yeah, they're 12 runs behind where Eton were at this stage.
That's two shots.
Two shots, yeah, but Eton had lost just two wickets to Harrow's five.
But we've been told that Harrow have got a long bat long and bat deep, so let's just see what could be done at 199 for five after 46 overs. So it's Carlton Smith to continue his spell of bowling from the nursery end. A left arm slow bowler. He's past the umpire. He's at the wickets. He bowled a lovely looping ball. It's hit hard back at him. It's probably a Carlton bowled chance, but Bowes hit it so hard that Carlton Smith did very well to get perhaps a hand to it, or perhaps it went through his hands,
or just get out the way.
And there was a lovely touch then when Carlton Smith had the opportunity of congratulating Bowes on his 100. Little shake of the hand there, which was a nice touch.
200 up.
200 for five. Now we know the math, Joe. 200 for 5 equals 74 to win.
Yes. I'm not going to struggle with that one.
Carlton Smith in. A looping delivery, which this time Whitrow turns into the onside. It's out to mid-on, who has to run back and pick it up. Can't stop a single, but that's just all they can get at 201 for 5. Now Bowes on 105, Whitrow 34. This is building up to a lovely occasion, as the skies are a little leaden, but we won't be thwarted. And this one's a bit shorter.
Oh, he smashed that.
Oh, that's a big
six.
Ball. That's a sixer.
It's a six.
The umpire, he can only need to look at us.
Up. Put your arms up.
Hey!
There we go.
And the umpire says sixer.
I don't think he can see us.
So there we are, 207. That was a great shot from Bowes. 1-1-1 is his score. And now there's a little bit of shuffling of the field.
Eight off the over.
This is a difficult time for Eton skipper. They've been in control for so long. Now it's just beginning a little bit more difficult for him. That's a full toss, which Carlton Smith hits, Bowes hits very hard down, straight down the pitch, straight down the field, where long on runs to gather it, just a single. But
he's off Nelson.
Yep, and Captain Hayes.
Yes, Henry Hayes.
He will be thinking hard about this. And this is Carlton Smith, who bowls a short ball, a little bit defensively, because Whitrow's able to just go back and hit it where he wanted to, really, for a single down to long on. And that brings us to a 210. We're coming up to the end of the 47th over, eight to go. I can just I can imagine what's you know buzzing through Hayes' mind. He's got to juggle who's to bowl and who's best to bowl in the circumstances. So that's one more to the score and to Bowes. 1-1-2 for and the total to 209, or should that be 210 for
210.
Five after 47 overs, which are
34 from eight.
That's very very good indeed. And Eaton have bowled how many? Seven or eight have bowled? So there's lots of options. But what the captain's got to do is decide which are the best. Pace, spin, combination, who bowls at which end?
It's from our perspective, or my perspective, being a neutral, it's a wonderful situation that seems to be shaping up here.
It is. Well, I think we've got we have got a bowling judge. I think it's a skipper. He's bringing himself back, isn't he? Now, this is brave.
This can go one or two ways, Ian.
This is leading from the front, because Hayes, who has so far bowled eight overs and taken one for 19, respectable figures indeed, is a slow right arm off break bowler. He's coming in from the pavilion end to a right hander, and therefore has got to defend the short tavern boundary. That's a good ball to start. He fired it in. Bowes can only push it into the onside, and Hayes is fired up that he runs down the pitch and picks it up himself to prevent a further run being scored.
It's a defining over, I think.
It is, Joe. He's getting that short onside boundary defended as best as he can. I'll try and describe it to you after this one. Hayes comes into bowl to Hayes. That's fired in. Oh, it's an edge. And I think it's going to come all the way. There's nothing you can do about preventing that. That's a thick edge. It's through the vacant slip area. Four runs.
Well, you make your own luck, don't you?
You do. Flash hard. That's what Bowes did. And this field, by the way, a long off, an extra cover, a sweeper on the cover boundary, a third man, no slips, no gully, a fine leg saving one, a backward square leg, a backward mid-wicket and short mid-wicket as Hayes bowled. This one spooned out to mid-wicket. They go for a single. It's easily taken. And to finish that field for the right-hander, there's a long on. So that's 214 for five. And that's after 47 and a half overs of bowling. Hayes, he's walking backwards to his mark. He's got it. He comes towards us and he bowls another quick ball, which again is pushed out into the onside. Long off has got to do some chasing. They're going for two. If he hits the wicket, he's out.
That's out. That's out. What an amazing throw. What an incredible throw. Yeah.
Well,
lovely piece of cricket.
It
was there for two.
There was an easy single. They turned. They looked
had for, to
two.
Go for two.
And
they
I think I think, well, I mean, it's a good bit of cricket, but it was a throw from 40 yards.
Yeah.
Hit the wicket at the non-striker's end, and that is the end of Bowes. An unlucky way to be dismissed. 118 off 127 balls in 174 minutes. A fantastic contribution to this marvellous match. But he's got to go, and that will bring in batsman number.
Turner?
Will it bring in number eight, Turner? Well, while he makes his way to the crease, I'm going to hand over to you, Joe, and let you bring it in and ask Andy to do a final stint on summary.
So we've had two key runouts here. The expressive and wonderful batsman Lalit Bowes, who has gone for 18 thanks to a wonderful throw from McDonough. It's been credited to on the scoreboard. And
what a moment. That's a match-changing moment, potentially. We were just saying off-air.
Andrew Turner is the new batsman.
Tugwell's drop of Bowes could have been absolutely crucial, and almost immediately. Fantastic bit of outfielding from Rory McDonough, who bowled so beautifully earlier on in this innings. And Henry Hayes, very sensibly at the stumps, didn't try and gather the ball, just let it go, because he could see it was likely to hit. And Bowes out by some considerable distance in the end. Although he'd set off for two, it always looked like there might be two, but not this time. So It's Wittrey facing. He was always going to the safe end.
Yes.
But the complexion of the game has changed. Suddenly he's just defending.
So Hayes with the penultimate ball of this 48th over. Just no run is taken. The new batsman on the non-striking end, Wittrow, works this ball away.
They're not going to think about a second.
Long on region, and they're definitely not testing him, are they?
Donna in gently to the bowler.
End
of the over. It's a good over, but the crucial part of that over, of course, was the run out. Suddenly, there's bounce in all the Eton fielders. They're jogging around, slapping each other as they go past. And 217 for six, chasing 274 with only seven overs left.
Yes.
Seems more distant with Turner on naught and Wittrow, the quiet man of the previous partnership, on 38 not out. Perhaps quite a lot rests on his shoulders now.
Yeah, it's a lot different to having somebody on there out there on 118.
Yeah, it makes a world of difference.
Fitzroy returning from the
Fitzroy's going to try and tidy things up from his end. He was very unlucky earlier. He was bowling very tidily and then had a missed stumping chance of Cousins and then went for 4 and 6 and was taken off. And so let's see if he's recovered him. He's usually a very tidy bowler, and that's a dot ball for him to start with. He can often tie an end down. So that's just what the doctor has ordered here for Eton. See if the skipper's got it right. Oh, Wittrow goes big, but it's only as far as the long on fielder. This time they come back for two and it's relatively safe.
I'm going to give some strike rates now.
Yeah.
Because strike rates are where we're looking now. So Hector Wittrow's strike rate of 80, just over 86. And Andrew Turner, the new batsman's strike rate, just over 62.
So
they're going to have to go some.
That's bowled into the block hole by Fitzroy, and Wittrow can only hit it back out to the bowler. So dot to dot so far this over. Here comes Fitzroy, gives it a bit more air, too much air in fact. It's full toss on the off stump. And Wittrow slashes it for six. Pretty flat six. There was a fielder on the boundary who leapt with his left hand but couldn't get a hand on the ball. Harrow on their feet in the tavern stand cheering. Wittrow now on 46 not out. Fitzroy, he's gone for eight now in this over. That makes a big difference, a six. Oh, and there are more runs here. I'm not sure whether it's going to be wides or byes or leg byes. We'll wait for the umpire signal, but it's two leg byes.
I know Turner's only just got out there, but he's running.
He's running, he's rapid.
He's running rapidly.
He's done a lot. Yeah, I'm not even sure, has he faced a ball yet?
No, I don't think he has.
But he's already part of a sizable partnership. Wittrow plays that out to the offside. Sweeper comes off the boundary and they pick up a single. So, expensive over for Eton. And there's still one ball to come. Oh no, there isn't. Umpire has called over now. Everybody was hesitating out there. Thought it was over. And eventually over is called. So, we had a couple of leg byes. A six, a two, and a single off that over, as far as I can remember. It's Hayes to continue from the other end, from the pavilion end. So we've got two slow bowlers on at the moment. They're asking the questions of Harrow. They've got to put the effort into the shots. They're not going to get sneaky edges that fly to the boundary.
It's almost like Henry Hayes' reputation goes before him. He's an intimidating fellow.
And he's got away with a terrible delivery first up, which just goes for a single. It was a flat, fast, full toss, which Turner, it was, I think, just turned off his hip.
No,
it was Wittrow. Intended. It was Wittrow.
Wittrow should have smashed it.
Should have smashed it. Yes, because Turner's now facing, he's a left-hander, just taking guard. So Wittrow on 47 should have said, thank you very much, I'll have my 50.
Average of just 18 for Andrew Turner.
Oh, how much could Harrow do with more than that today? So left-hander, we've got one player deep on the offside. We've got deep backward square, deep mid-wicket. Six players in the ring. They're trying to cramp the new batsman, and they do just save a single. square leg, it's point, but he's by the umpire. Runs in, attacks the ball, saves the single, then misses it. Batsman think about then running on the miss and probably sensibly decide not to, because he didn't have too far to turn around to pick it up. So Hayes comes in again, over the wicket to the left-hander. This time they do play it into the offside and take a fairly safe single, which brings Whitrow back on strike. He's on 48 and spreads the field out. So back to four men in the ring, five men spread round the ground. In we go, and he's hit that one hard and high, picked it up, and it's a six to go to his 50. Well, nice, suddenly Whitrow is the man of the moment.
He's taking up the mantle, isn't he?
He leaps to 54 off only 51 balls. Belief suddenly ripples through the Harrow dressing room again. They're all on their feet on the balcony applauding his 50. But we're back to business on the pitch. Punches it into the leg side and runs a quick single.
So Whitrow's highest score so far this season is 32 not out, so he surpassed that.
But wow, and some. Same as his previous partner. So Turner plays that nicely. He's looking about a second. No second there. They've seen who's on the throw. Yes. It's McDonough. They're not going to risk it this time.
Not taking on that arm again.
You can hear a noise in the background. It sounds like someone pushing the microphone. It's just got quite windy outside. Flags are all fluttering and microphones on the outside being buffeted a bit. That's the end of the over. The score is 238 for six after 50 overs. So there are five overs left. And the run rate required is 4.8. Run rate required, that sounds too low, is 7.2 off those five overs. It's game on.
Six. Interestingly, that's a lot lower than it's been for a long while.
Yeah, it was up around 8.8 at one point, 8.9.
It's not over yet.
It's certainly not over
yet. There's no fat lady out on the balcony yet.
Not as far as we can tell. So it's Fitzroy to continue. He's bowling around the wicket to the left-handed Turner. And Turner just watches that one go by. Dot ball is applauded by the Eton crowd, who are now sensing the importance of every ball.
He's just, I imagine, about to be told that he can't really afford to leave the ball alone.
Whitrow goes down and says, just get a bat on it and I'll run. There are lots of spaces for singles. Turner again facing Fitzroy. This time he plays it into the offside. It's fielded at backward point, but they scamper through for a single, which brings Whitrow, who suddenly has accelerated, on to strike. The field can't spread much more, but they do change it around a little bit. So four fielders at the four corners, if you like, of the inner circle, and five spread around the outer circle. It's a short ball from Fitzroy. Whitrow pivots. There's a big crowd cheer from Harrow, but in fact it bounces a couple of times and goes to the fielder at deep backward square leg, and they take a single.
34 runs needed.
34. Doesn't sound very many all of a sudden when they've hit 15 off an over recently.
He's gone after that.
That's a good stop on the boundary by Abbott, who didn't look like he might. It could be a run out. It is a run out. Oh, goodness me. They thought about the second. They turned for the second. And then... Now, who is it that's going...
I think it's Turner. Is it Turner?
It's Turner who's run out. He's stranded half track. The throw came in from Abbott to Fitzroy, who was about 5 yards from the stumps to pick it up. He thought about running in to take the bales off, decided against it, aimed at the stumps and hit. Batsman was stranded.
Yeah, there's two things there. I wonder whether that was a bit of, now I'm settled by Whitrow, you go back. And the other thing I was thinking was, how embarrassing would that be if you are throwing at those stumps when you have plenty of time to even run in and take the bells off yourself if you've missed them, because he nearly did.
I think it's a good call from Fitz. Well, it is now a good call. I don't think he had time to run in and get it because he was probably as far from the stumps as the batsman was.
But still, they didn't. He hit the top of the stumps.
So, it is Turner that's out. It's Ward that is coming in. Morgan Ward is the number 9 batsman for Harrow. What a situation for him. 33 required, because one of those runs will have counted. He's got a man not out in his 50s. His job really is to try and get the strike to Wittrow.
High score of 15 so far this season, an average of 9.3.
This is what happens when you're chasing a game. A couple of run outs. That's how Eton have got their last 2 wickets now. So, it's Ward who's... It's not Ward who's facing, it's Wittrow, that's better. He slices it off his legs into the leg side. It's a comfortable single, but no more. No thoughts of scampering this time, which brings the right-handed batsman, Morgan Ward, on to strike. So two right-handers now, which keeps it simpler for the fielding team. There's a job to be done, and there's a game to be won. One side is going to be happy at the end. It's going to be a good win for whomever wins. It's worked off his legs. I think it's going to be leg byes. They've got one, and that's all they're going to get. Yeah, leg byes signalled by the umpire at the pavilion end. That's the end of Fitzroy's over.
It's not all bad news, because that puts Ward on strike for the next over.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was
slightly quieter over. How many runs off the over?
5 runs.
So just 5 runs off that over, so the... pushes the run rate up a bit. Run rate slightly irrelevant now. It's 7.8. We have had 51 overs. There are 4 overs remaining. The score is 243 for 7, and they need 274 to win. So 31 runs required off the last 4 overs. Is that right? Yeah. It's a change of bowling at the pavilion end. Hayes, who's bowled 10 overs, 1 for 36. Is coming off, and it's Tugwell, I think, that's coming on, who's bowled 9 overs. So presumably the plan is to bowl Tugwell for the last 2 overs at the pavilion end.
And yeah, they've been saving him, haven't they?
Yeah.
Saved him up.
And we'll wait to see who bowls at the nursery ground end. So it's Ward, who's still on naught, not out to face. Tugwell, right arm, medium fast. Noticeably, the wicketkeeper is now standing back to Tugwell. Was standing up earlier, so a slightly more defensive ploy. They don't want to give away anything silly.
So the last 5 overs has been 33 runs and 2 wickets.
Which is slightly less than they need. They scamper a single off the first ball. They think about a second, because it can't be gathered cleanly by the fielder, or by the wicketkeeper, but it's well backed up. By Eton Field, who are definitely the adrenaline is flowing through the veins.
So Wittrow's on strike, which is good news for Harrow, because he's about the only one that's going to be able to
Tugwell advance.
It's 4.
Oh, it's 4. Wittrow takes a hop and a skip down the wicket, turns a good length ball into a half volley and smashes it through the covers. It wasn't a bad ball from Tugwell, but Wittrow took the initiative and turned it into one that was really in the slot, and there was nothing the fielder on the boundary could do about that. So 5 off the first 2 balls of this over.
He's only scored 106 runs all.
I get the feeling that if Wittrow stays in, Harrow will win.
Yeah.
Tugwell's got to do something better than that. Oh. Wittrow smashes it into the leg side.
They've
looking
for 2. Come on.
And it's quick running. Yeah. If Ward is nothing else, he's a quick runner and gets back comfortably for 2 that time. That's 250 up for Harrow. They're very close now. That's off 310 balls, if you're interested. Off 51.3 overs at a run rate of 4.8. So they need a bit more than that, but they're doing well. Oh no! That's disaster for Eton. That is 4 runs through the wicketkeeper. I think there was an edge. I don't think it was a catch.
Well, it's been credited, so they must have hit it.
Possibly a catch, but he didn't seem to see it or go for it at all. And it's just gone straight through the wicketkeeper, who was standing back. I'm afraid that's got to go down against the keeper. Shouldn't have gone. So this over has already done the job for Harrow, and there are still two balls left. They advance to 254 for seven. Whitrow, 67, not out now. And he's going to be four more after that.
Four more. Here we go, here we go.
That is timed beautifully through point. It's gone all the way up to the grandstand boundary.
There's one member of our commentary box who's getting particularly excited.
Whitrow moves to 71. Harrow moved to 258 for seven. Wow, 258 chasing 274. You can do the sum. 16 runs required. And there's still three overs and one ball to come.
The run rate is five. The required run rate is five.
This is Harrow's to lose now.
Stop trying to do that, Mr. Miles. I know what you're trying to do. I know what you're trying to do.
Ooh, quiet. Crowd, go quiet. That's a big cheer for one run. I think perhaps because it means that Whitrow's kept the strike. So Whitrow moves to 72. That was the last ball of the over. The score
16
is
runs off the over.
16 off the over. Perhaps not the bowling change we were looking for.
What a time. What a time to get 16 runs off an over.
259 for seven. There are 15 runs required for victory. There are three overs left. And it's Whitrow on strike. Who's going to bowl from the from the nursery ground end?
Hayes has got one more.
Has swapped himself round. He's going to bowl the last over from this end. I thought that that might happen. So the captain takes responsibility. It's almost make and break this over.
Yeah, he's just got such an air about him. I just get this feeling from watching him in the past and watching him today that he evokes this kind of fear in the opposition.
Right. Well, he did take five wickets last year. It's Whitrow on 72 facing Hayes. He's in, bowling his off spin. Whitrow plays it all along the ground. There's a big cheer for the single. That's all it'll be, out to long off. So they've got one of the five they require this over. Runs required comes down to
14. Surely they've got to bring everybody in now.
14 runs required.
Stop him getting off strike.
Interesting. Still only four fielders in the ring.
That's
going to scamper it.
He's done it. Oh, good lord.
Scampered a single.
It's getting tight.
Ward played it basically up the pitch. Hayes had to run, pick up the ball, turn round and throw. His throw missed the stumps. I'm not sure it would have mattered if it had. I think he was home. But that's a single off the second ball. Whitrow works it comfortably for
that's
one.
That's two. Come on.
They're going to come back for the second, and they're going to make it. Harrow realise now they can do it by hitting the ball along the ground. They don't have to go aerial, and that's four off the first three balls of the over.
One more.
Score is 263 for seven. They only need 274 to win. Hesitation. Oh. It's close. Sorry, didn't describe that very well. What I should have said was Whitrow plays it to point, where Fitzroy picks up, hurls it at the bowler's end. Even a direct hit would have been not out. And it's five runs off the over with still two balls to go. The score is 264 for seven. And it's Ward to face. He's going to pick up a leg by just behind square. There's absolutely nothing that can be done about that. I think Hayes is trying to cramp him for space. Just wavered down the leg side. Ward missed it. It hit his pad. It ran out just behind square. And they jogged through for that single.
Looks a little bit like Whitrow's hurt himself somehow.
I think he'll keep playing, don't you?
Yeah.
And that's another single. He pushes it firmly past the stumps on the onside. Hayes despairingly dives across.
Bit of skin off the belly there. Just slide across the...
And that means that Whitrow's taken a single off the last ball of the over. They scored seven off the over. There are only two overs left.
24 off the last two overs, that is, then. No, 23. 16.
So there are two overs to go. Whitrow's on 77 not out. The score is 266 for 7. Harrow need 8 runs to win off the last two overs. They have 3 wickets in hand.
We've got an impromptu huddle.
We have an impromptu huddle. Captain Henry Hayes has called the Eton Fielders in and said, you've got to believe in it. You've got to believe you can win right up to the end. Well, I don't know he said that, but I'm guessing. He may have said, it's all over, guys. Come on, hold your heads up.
I was just about to say, Andy, you're really good at lip reading from this distance.
Anything can happen. A moment of heroism, a moment of villainy. Who knows what will happen? Who's going to bowl? Well, I can tell you, it's a change of bowling, and it's Carlton Smith. He's turned two, who bowled very well earlier. 7 overs, 1 for 31. The medium pacers really haven't been the pick of the bowlers, apart from McDonough, who bowled beautifully. The others have struggled today, and the slow bowlers have done quite well. 3 of them in the end. We thought only 2 of them would be used, but...
I'm trying to justify this decision. So you slow everything down, cramp the batsman, and make him do the work, yeah.
Yeah. So it's Carlton Smith, who is going to be bowling left arm round the wicket. It's Whitrow facing, who works it off his legs to mid-wicket, and they scamper through for a single.
I think he might have hurt himself there.
He moves to 78.
He's out.
The score moves to 267. They need 7 runs to win. Crowd on their feet, both sides.
I'm just amazed that required rate has just fallen. Plummeted.
7-8 fielders inside, saving a single now. Only two men back. It's a slower ball. They're looking to save the single, but they haven't. He's turned it around the corner. Essentially, it's tip and run. And if you're playing tip and run, there's very little a fielding side can do about it. I don't know if Whitrow's hurt himself, but he was through pretty quickly for that single, which means he's facing on 78. The score 268 for 7, chasing 274. Carlton Smith wheels in, slightly overpitched, but only just. They managed to hit a single back to mid-wicket, but it's all they need. Harrow doing it in singles and doing it very well. Whitrow really has played a very good innings indeed. Chanceless, I think.
No, I'd agree with you. This has turned into a real classic.
Ward now facing. All he's got to do is find a single somewhere. He goes big! And he's bowled him! He goes big! They needed 6 to win. They needed 6 to win. He had glory written all over his eyes. But Carlton Smith has bowled him. It hits the top of off stump. There's no debate about that. Was that the moment that Henry Hayes was talking about in the huddle?
Maybe. Dot ball.
A wicket, which brings Harrow's number 10 in, McIntyre. What a moment for him. Just when you thought it had swung Harrow's way.
Has Carlton Smith got time for a hat trick? Has he got enough balls in this?
I think so.
Well, there you go. 2 more balls. Hat trick. All over. Bish, bash, bosh.
Well, we've enjoyed whatever happens. A classic match down here at Lord's today. The weather has done us proud by staying dry. The crowd have loved it. And now, who knows? The score is 269 for 8 for Harrow, chasing Eton's 273 that they posted earlier. McIntyre comes in, Hamish McIntyre. Obviously, he's going to be facing after Carlton Smith, who took a wicket by bowling Ward, who needlessly went big. The field were all in trying to save the single. He thought, right, I'll smash it over the top. 6. I've won with a heroic shot, maybe, or maybe he just thought it was the percentage shot. Anyway, he missed. The ball hit off stump. And we've just got another twist in this yet. Ooh, if it hits the pads, it's going to be a big shout for LBW.
It's going to be massive, isn't it?
It's left arm round, so coming in from a good angle.
We'll have 11 fielders and, what, 400 Etonians up in arms.
And one or two others elsewhere. Here we go. Carlton Smith into McIntyre. It's on the stumps. Oh, he's got an edge!
There we
he's
go.
He's got an edge! It's going to go all the way to the boundary. That'll be the best edge that he's ever hit. They didn't cover the fine leg boundary, you know. I'm not sure about the wisdom of that. Well, it's easy to say now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
it was about the only
Harrow
place.
Crowd go wild.
It was the only place.
McIntyre
they could have got
hits
runs.
Four. The run. The scores are now level. And there are seven balls left, I think. Yeah, seven balls left. And Harrow need one to win. And Eton need two wickets to win.
Everybody's inside the circle now.
So, body blow.
He edged one of the men out mid-wicket.
If there'd been a slip, he would have been caught. If there'd been a slip. Well, here we go. Bang. Any runs? No. It's fielded at point by Hubbard. That's the end of Carlton Smith's over. He's bowled very well. And it is going to come down to the last over.
Yeah.
There's no chance that Harrow are going to lose now, but can they knock a single? I have seen a school match where, in an under 15B match.
What would you give for a maiden now?
Radley needed one to win off the last over with three wickets in hand and failed to score.
A Fitzroy maiden.
It is going to be George Fitzroy to try and bowl the most impossible maiden he's ever tried to bowl in his life. Fitzroy so far, six overs for 42. Seven overs for 42 would put him down in history.
Yeah. And that doesn't really sound.
In we go. It's Whitrow on 79. Ooh! Fitzroy stopped. Just in his delivery strike.
Did Whitrow step away or did Fitzroy step away?
Anyway, here we go. This time it's going to happen. Bowled. Would you believe it? What happened there? That's it. Harrow have won. Do you know, I think he missed it.
Yeah.
Or it got an edge. It was either.
I think it got an edge.
It either got an edge or it went for a leg by, but no leg by was signalled. So through the slips for a single. What a game.
Fabulous.
Whitrow ends up presumably on 80. Yep, it's just gone up on the scoreboard. So a match winning century from Bowes, but an equally valuable 80 not out from Whitrow. Harrow are thrilled. Eton, well, we've had a good game. We've had 554 runs scored and we've had 15 wickets.
Last 10 overs went for 75 runs at the loss of 3 wickets.
Well, well played Harrow is what we have to say. Particularly well played Lalit Bowes, who scored 118, and Hector Whitrow 80 not out. The full card I'll just read through. White was Boldroy caught Tugwell for 8. Bowes run out for 118. Cousins, Bold Hayes stumped Thorpe for 26. Castleman run out for 3. Boyd, LBW McDonald for 2. Carlton, Patel caught Thorpe, Bold Carlton Smith for 11. Whitrow 80 not out. Andrew Turner 4, run another run out. Ward bowled Carlton Smith for 3, and Hamish McIntyre came in, scored an unconvincing but mightily useful 4 at the end, and Harrow have won a classic officially by 2 wickets will be the winning margin, but it was close. Final over stuff. The teams walk past each other and shake hands on the outfield. They shake the hands of the umpire. There's still noise from the crowd. The teams make their way up the tunnel of spectators. Our next match is next Saturday. It's a women's one day international, England versus India, which promises to be a very exciting game. Do please tune in to that. I think that starts at 10:45 next Saturday here at Lord's. But that's it as far as we're concerned. Thank you for listening. We hope to join you in due course.